On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 2002 that John Entwistle, the bass player for The Who, was found dead in a hotel room in Las Vegas. He died of a heart attack that was triggered by cocaine use. He was only 57 years old. And The Who were just about to start a tour, I believe. And John's body was found at this hotel in Vegas. Heart attack from cocaine. Look, you know, you got to stop using that stuff. Well, first of all, none of you should be using it at all anyway. Listen to your Uncle Scoot here. It's bad stuff. Back in the 80s, we had the good pure stuff. I'm sorry you can't get that today, but you never know if there's fentanyl out there or not, so don't do drugs. Become a radio talk show host and they give them to you free. All right, that's a great line from Love Actually. But anyway, you know, it's really, really sad that John Entwistle didn't give it up because, you know, I can tell you that people like Mick Jagger would not still be alive and thriving today if they were still doing cocaine. Now, I don't know Mick. Maybe he's still doing a bump now and then, but I doubt it seriously. That you can't do that stuff, especially at an older age, because of what it does to your heart. I mean, it causes your heart to just race. And you get this great feeling after the first, you know, bump or two, and then it's downhill from that point on. All you want to do is get back to feeling the way you felt before you even started the stuff. So it's like, it's really evil stuff. I've admitted that I did a little bit back in the 80s, and I just decided one day that this is terrible. It's not good. It's not helping me progress with my life. And so I'm going to quit. And I did. But John Entwistle, you know, still doing it at 57 years old. And at that point, it's going to kill you. So he's gone because he just didn't use good sense. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. It's a Thursday afternoon. We're talking about a lot of stuff, including the debate, and we'll have more on that coming up. There's a new CNN poll, and if CNN is so biased, why do they have a poll out that shows that Trump is leading? Why did Fox News have a poll recently that showed that Biden was leading? It might just be that these news services, they actually do legitimate polls. And they're not biased. And the polls come out the way they come out. The new CNN poll has Trump leading 49-47. A statistical tie, but it still shows that Trump is leading. So why would they publicize that if they're so biased? And why would Fox News publicize a poll where Biden is leading? And that caused Trump to bash Fox News recently. Also, 73% of voters are likely to vote tonight. About 60% of Americans say they're going to be, they're going to watch the, 73% of voters say they're going to watch the debate tonight. And about 60% of Americans say they're going to watch the debate tonight. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. You're hearing this in our news. It's also on our website. Ian Hoke agrees with me. I thought the most crowded travel day to travel by air or on the roads, I thought the busiest travel day was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I mean, this has been pounded into my head since I can remember. And now they're saying the busiest travel day is going to be today. The 4th of July is midweek. Am I wrong on this?
There's some context that we should tuck back in here.
Okay.
The TSA is saying that today is the busiest day for air travel.
Well, still,
only people on airplanes.
Okay, I still thought that the busiest day for air travel was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
I guess that you might chalk that up to people who are going to visit their families for Thanksgiving. Maybe they live close enough that they don't have to get an airplane to do that. That's your day long road trip or what have you to go to grandma's house.
No, there have been countless stories from the airport, live from the airport, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. This is the busiest travel day. So I'm just a little confused that suddenly in the summer before 4th of July, it's the busiest travel day. Look, my mind gets confused by things like this.
Je ne sais pas.
Yeah. Also, there's a poll showing, and this is a poll that always showed Biden leading recently, and now it shows Trump ahead by 4 points nationally. It's the Quinnipiac poll. Kevin McCarthy has totally turned around on the whole Biden mental faculties issue. He's a Republican, you know, used to be Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy now says that President Biden is going to be prepared for the debate and that mentally he's just fine. That's not what he always said, but we know that politicians quite often change. McDonald's, Burger King, and Starbucks are promoting meal deals. I know the McDonald's meal deal is $5, and they're promoting this new deal, and apparently that's like a magic number. You know, $5 is being promoted as the new meal deals are around. Look, these fast food restaurants and Starbucks, they're trying to get business because for whatever reason, business is down. And I guess they have to sell a lot of the stuff because the prices are low. So the only way they're going to make any money is if they sell a lot of volume of these items. But at McDonald's, you get a $5 meal deal. $5 gets you a choice of a McDouble or a McChicken sandwich, small fries, a four-piece chicken McNugget, and a small drink. At Burger King for $5, your way meal of $5, you get a choice between a Whopper Jr., a bacon cheeseburger, a chicken Jr., plus fries, a four-piece chicken nugget pack, and a soft drink. At Starbucks, it's the pairings menu, $5 for a tall ice or hot coffee or tea paired with a butter croissant. So there are your deals, and they need your business. Taylor Swift caused a bit of a stir. This was a show in the UK, and she did a song, and in the song, the lyrics say F, but the words said out loud, F the patriarchy. And she had everybody in the crowd singing this. As you know, there are a lot of very young people in the crowd at a Taylor Swift concert. So some people have reacted and thought that this was very inappropriate for Taylor Swift. They say she's a role model for a lot of young women, and she shouldn't be doing this. And these are our lyrics from a past song. And F the, but again, said out loud, she had everybody sing F the patriarchy. And I think she's kind of making a statement there about the patriarchy, you know, a male dominated society. So whether or not she should have used the F word for them singing, especially because of all the kids in the audience, that, of course, is to be debated. Donald Trump is threatening a lawsuit over the use of his own words. Now, you know, Donald Trump was very much against mail-in voting. At one point, Donald Trump said, mail-in voting is totally corrupt. Get that through your head. So now the Trump campaign is promising to bring legal action and to seek a criminal investigation into a super PAC that ran a misleading digital ad in Pennsylvania featuring clips of Trump discouraging Republicans from voting by mail. This was a big controversy, and Trump was totally against voting by mail. Trump is now embracing the whole concept, and he's realizing that voting by mail is legitimate. I wonder if many of you still think it's illegitimate, that it's wrong, because you believe Trump. Trump said it's wrong, and many people believed it. Now he says it's okay. Do you now believe it's okay? I lived in states where there was mail-in voting, and I voted with mail-in voting ballots, in three different states. And it all seemed to work well. But a lot of people had facts about mail-in voting that really were not facts. And they bashed it, including Donald Trump. He said it was just an opportunity to steal an election. And now Donald Trump is for mail-in balloting. So now he wants to sue over the use of his own words. I'll be following that story. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. We've also been talking about Gen Z, the Zoomers. They think that if you're 10 minutes late, that's basically being on time. As the generations progress to being older, up to the baby boomer generation, there's less tolerance for being 10 minutes late. Millennials and Xers are less tolerant than the Zoomers, and Boomers are less tolerant than all the other younger generations. Boomers think that if you're 10 minutes late, you're 10 minutes late. That's not on time. And I'm a Boomer. I don't always agree with my generation. Quite often, I'm a hostile witness to the baby Boomer generation. But in this case, I agree. If you're 10 minutes late, you're late. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okanar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, yesterday somebody called the show and asked me to check out Operation Mockingbird as some sinister plan by the government to present all of the same talking points to all of the TV stations at the same time, to basically control and orchestrate the message going to the American people. I did look into this, and we'll talk about that, and we'll get more of your comments coming up. Also, we haven't gotten to your texts in a while, so we're going to get to some text messages with Ian coming up here in just a few minutes. All right, so what about the debate tonight? Is Biden going to be timid? A lot of people think he's going to be juiced up. A lot of people think that he's going to be given something. Yesterday we kind of joked about Mountain Dew. He's going to have something, and we're going to see the Biden that we saw at the State of the Union address back in January. Is he going to be jacked up and ready to go? Is Trump going to attack? Is Trump going to try to talk over the muted mic? I mean, how is this going to go? Is Donald going to maybe try to be a little more congenial? Is he going to control his temperament? That's something that is a lot of people are concerned about, that because he does tend to be, you know, very, very aggressive when it comes to certain things. So what's going to happen tonight? I mean, is this going to get to the point where these two guys are just going to be so mad at each other that it's going to be like, all right, come on, man, let's take this outside. It's going to be really interesting to see how this goes tonight. I think Trump should show that he can control his temperament. I think Biden should show that he's awake. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1989, the B-52s released Cosmic Thing, their first album following the death of guitarist and band co-founder Ricky Wilson. It featured two of their biggest hits, Rome and Love Shack. Ricky Wilson was the brother of Cindy Wilson. I've had some great conversations with Cindy Wilson of the B-52s, and in one conversation backstage at the Sanger before their show here in New Orleans, I asked Cindy about their style. And, I mean, the B-52s were really unique, and they were actually part of that transition of music. They were new music. They were part of that transition of the punk rock into the commercial music that we refer to as the music of the 80s. But they also had a very interesting style where, you know, one person would say something and then another person, the band, would answer the question. It was almost like the songs were almost like some of the songs were almost like a dialogue within the songs. But I asked Cindy Wilson about the idea that their style has been described as thrift door chic.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the things we've been called. It was kind of taking used musical influences and things we loved and putting them all together and making something new out of it, you know.
Also, I asked her about a moment when the evolution of the band had gotten to a certain point, and you had to realize, oh my God, we're going to be big.
Well, we never believed it. We never did it to become famous or anything. It was just for fun and pleasing our friends. But you know, we went up to New York the first time. We thought that was the end, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was the beginning, you know. Around the third or fourth time we played New York, we played at a club called Hurrah's, which was bigger than what we had been playing. And we had released an independent single with Rock Lobster and 52 Girls, the DB record 45. And it had been played in New York. So after soundcheck, you know, we stayed at the club and we were watching this line of people, you know, outside. You know, we were wondering what that was for. And somebody told us, they're here to see you.
Wow.
And we almost fainted. That's when we kind of had the idea that something was happening. Yeah. You know, it was kind of magical.
You know, you can't help but think about these band and these artists. You know, they're progressing and they've been together for a long time. But suddenly there's this moment when they got to realize, oh, my God, we're big or we're going to be big. And I love talking to artists about that. That was Cindy Wilson of the V-52s. All right. So yesterday somebody called the show and asked about Operation Mockingbird. And did I know anything about this? This goes back to the Cold War and the CIA did have this operation called Operation Mockingbird. And the goal was designed to collect intelligence and to actually spend money to bribe journalists and media institutions around the world to try to have an impact on a certain public opinion that they wanted to be manipulated in the news. Carl Bernstein, who was one of the famous reporters that was responsible for exposing Watergate, he exposed this scandal in 1977. The CIA had recruited journalists on the payroll for the CIA, and these journalists were instructed to write fake stories. So the idea of fake news actually goes way back, and it's nothing new. The CIA, but it's a little different today. The CIA did actually admit that about 400 journalists and 25 large organizations around the world had carried out the assignment of the CIA. Now, to this day, the CIA still attempts to monitor and manipulate public opinion through this operation, but it doesn't seem to be as big as it once was. But I can tell you from somebody who has been in the business for over 50 years, and I have been in newsrooms. I've done TV as well, not mostly radio, but I've done some TV. So I've been in newsrooms. I've been in stations all across the country. And I can tell you that much of what you think in terms of manipulation never applied to me. It wasn't true. And while some stations do have meetings and conversations with hosts, we are a conservative station. We are all going to be conservative. You have to have a conservative view. And if not, then you're not working at that station. It's that simple. So there are stations that do have agendas, but the agenda is based more on getting an audience than it is on changing public opinion. I think it's more based on money. It's based on revenue. It's based on ratings, and that equates to revenue. But I have never felt any, today or any time in my career, I've never felt any pressure whatsoever to have a certain opinion. Now, I think that's pretty much the case everywhere. I know that is the case with our station here. Noel Norman is free to have his opinions. Nobody's directing Noel Norman. Nobody's directing me to have a certain opinion when it comes to things. And this is the beauty of WWL. There are stations, though, as I say, they do go on this conservative programming idea, pushing the conservative agenda because they're trying to get listeners, and that's what they want. They want those listeners. Well, you know, fortunately for this show, we get a lot of those listeners, and we get listeners that don't want the conservative view. We are an alternative to some degree, but I've never ever felt I've worked for big stations around the country. I've never felt this pressure to have a certain opinion or this mandate from the top that you have to have these opinions. I think that has changed. I mean, I've been back here in New Orleans for, you know, maybe 15 years, maybe 20. Have I been back 20 years? Wow. I know I've been back a while. And so maybe things have changed even more. But being here at WWL is just a magical situation in many ways, because we're not told what our opinions have to be. And we're all free to be who we want to be. Now, there's also a conversation about Sinclair Broadcasting. Sinclair Broadcasting is run by conservatives. They have hired conservative-minded people. They have had all of their stations follow a common theme, pushing the conservative agenda. But also Sinclair did recently have all of their local anchors at all of their TV stations around the country push this idea that they are not going to they're not going to present fake news. And here's something that, actually came from them. This was part of what the anchors were reading. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think. And this was provided by the Sinclair Broadcast Group. What's interesting is that they tend to push a conservative agenda. And they have a right to do that. Don't misunderstand me. Fox News has a right to be conservative, and others have a right to not be conservative. It's all about, you know, it's all about the marketplace. So I don't think you should be that paranoid about how you believe that there are just a couple of major corporations that are controlling the message, because a lot of these messages are messages that come from the freedom that hosts have to be who they want to be. Now, within the conservative umbrella, hosts have to be conservative, but they're still free to be who they want to be. And the mandate is not to control the outcome of an election as much as it is to get listeners. They're not thinking about the bigger picture of, you know, they want Trump to be in office. All these conservatives, they want Biden out. They want Trump to be in office. But that's not their main goal. Their main goal is ratings equals revenue. And if they, I mean, on the air, they're gonna make it seem like they really want Trump to be in office. And they do. They really want Trump to be in office. But it's not that dictate comes from, I mean, in some cases, it does come from companies that want to operate conservative radio stations. And we have conservative stations within our company. But again, WWL seems to be a really great example of just total freedom to be who you are and who you want to be and who you feel like you need to be on the air. And, you know, we have a great audience. I'm always proud of our audience. And we do it by being honest. We do it by not being totally conservative. I'm conservative on many issues. I'm liberal on other issues. And if people want to say we're totally conservative or we're totally liberal, that's up to them. But I'm very proud of what we do here. All right, we're going to come back with some of your text messages. We haven't done a very good job of getting to the text messages. So if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And tomorrow, Free for All Friday, we will spend much of tomorrow talking about the debate. We'll talk about what you thought about the debate, and we'll talk about what everybody else is saying about the debate. And quite often, people form their opinions based on what other people say they think they should think about the debate. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Don't you wish tonight's debate was about solutions? Don't you wish it was more positive? No, we don't. I got to tell you, the idea that tonight's debate might involve attacking the candidates attacking each other, that makes it more entertaining. It makes it more compelling. I mean, can you imagine a controlled debate between Trump and Biden that's like a controlled collegiate-style debate? I mean, that would be boring AF. Just the idea that there's going to be attacking, the idea that they're going to, you know, chip at each other, that's what makes it exciting. I hate to admit that, but it's true. And I hate to admit that it's about the entertainment value, but it is. If this were going to be a traditional collegiate-style debate, we wouldn't watch it. But the idea that Trump might do something wild, that Biden might slip and stumble for words, this is what we're watching for tonight. I'm Scoot. Let's get to a couple of calls. Let's go to Homa and Audrey. You're on WWL. Hey, Audrey.
Hi, Scoot. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
It's been a while. This is Audrey, the Cajun Tsunami. That's my political handle. This morning, Scoot, I did not know how to get in touch with President Biden's staff, so I sent MSNBC a message, and I've been gone, so I don't know whether they... But it has to do with a zinger that I came up with that I think, like Reagan did a few years ago, won the election for him, And I would like to share it with y'all now, if I could.
Okay.
Okay. Would you explain to the audience what the word zinger means and how it's used sometimes?
Well, I mean, a zinger is, kind of like catching somebody off guard. It's finding them maybe not prepared for something, and you bring them a surprise.
Okay. Well, if I'm not mistaken, tonight, which I know a lot of people will be watching, President Biden, for some reason, I believe, maybe they flipped a coin, correct me if I'm wrong. I think he allowed President Trump to have the last word, to be the last one to give the closing. Am I correct?
I don't know. I don't know.
I heard that President Biden could have been first, and he did not. So anyway, I said, if I were close to President Biden, this is what I would tell him to get ex-President Trump raging mad. Are you ready?
Okay.
I would look at President Trump if I were Biden, and I would put my shoulders back, and I would say, Mr. Ex-President, or should I say the alternative, Mr. Trump, I will not refer to you as a felon, the world's biggest loser and liar. Mr. Ex-President, I will simply and sincerely tell you here and now, you're fired. And I will slam my fist on the podium, thank the individuals for hosting the debate. And thank you for listening, Scoot.
All right,
you
Audrey.
Have a fantastic program, and so does Mr. Newell Norman in the morning. And you're right about what you said earlier. Y'all are a fantastic station. I haven't called in a while, but thank you for taking time and listening.
Thank you
and
for
everybody,
calling.
And everybody, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, please listen to the debate tonight. And all I say is, let justice be done.
Yeah. Audrey, I'm glad you called, and I'm proud to have you listening to our show. Yeah, I think that would be somewhat of a zinger. Let's go to Jonathan in Marrero. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Scoot, I was calling in regards to the law passed about the balloons.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Yeah, that was in Florida, and DeSantis signed a bill into law that bans the intentional release of balloons.
Well, I guess my point was, if I'm driving down the interstate and there's a state trooper behind me, and all of a sudden I just start grabbing uninflated balloons and just throwing them out the window, do you think he would pull me over and give me a ticket for that?
No, I don't think so. I don't know if, that's going to be one of those laws that's going to be probably hard to enforce because, what are police going to do? Are they going to show up at a memorial for some child who died in a home, was killed by the parents or some tragic situation, and there's going to be a balloon release? Are they going to show up there and arrest people for releasing the balloons? I don't think that would be a good idea. But the idea of banning the balloon release is to cut down on the litter that ends up in the waterways and can affect some of the wildlife that's in the waterways. And, the balloons that are released in mass numbers, they all end up litter somewhere else. And so that can be a threat to wildlife. All right, let's go to Ian with a couple of quick texts.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, if my candidate needs Mountain Dew to keep him going, I'm good with that.
Well, okay, yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Biden seems to need a little something to get a boost, and I don't know why they don't give it to him all the time, since there are times that it seems like he doesn't have the boost.
Here's a text that says, if you're Trump, would you really want to deliver a kill shot to Biden? Do you really want Democrats to replace Biden? Do you want to aid them in that decision? If I am being strategic, I may even help Biden along,
wow,
sort of like a cat playing with a lizard. Everyone hates uncertainty, even Trump.
We talked earlier this week about some Democrats who are now saying that if Biden does poorly in the debate, it may force them to find another candidate. And Trump's best chance to win is against Biden.
Here's a text that says, do the people who plan to vote for Trump realize that as a convicted felon, he is not supposed to have a top secret clearance prohibiting him from having access to sensitive classified information? How will he be able to do the job of president unless they make an exception for him?
Well, I guess they'd have to make an exception. And, you know, the Supreme Court has yet to rule on whether or not Trump as president is immune from prosecution. So that's something that could come down anytime.
Three more quick ones. This says, I don't care if he wears diapers or mini pads. I am voting for Trump. That's from Joanne. Thank you, Joanne. Here's one that says, hey, I'm a true blue Biden supporter. As anyone who values honesty as our Constitution, but can't stand to watch the debate, maybe a drinking game will help. I'm going to be making Manhattans tonight.
Hey, listen. Don't say you're going to take a drink every time January 6th comes up or anytime Hunter Biden comes up, because you will be wasted by the end of the debate.
And we'll end with this one today. It's not going to be a NASCAR wreck. The wreck happened already. It's going to be them dragging two drivers out of the wreckage and seeing who's dead and who can still stand, if either.
That is horrible. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1964, Peter and Gordon's A World Without Love was the number one song in the country. Now, this sounds like a Beatles song. Well, it does, because it was written by Paul McCartney and John Lennon. And at the time, Paul McCartney was dating Peter Asher's sister, Jane. And so they gave Peter and Gordon the song, A World Without Love, number one on this day in 64. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back to wrap up the show on WWL. All right, Thursday afternoon, tomorrow's Free For All Friday. We'll talk about the carnage following the debate. Sports Talk with Bobby Abreu, Mike Dottiglie, Steve Geller coming up next. They will analyze the NBA draft that took place yesterday. Also, didn't get to your comments from the SOTA Facebook page, but they're there if you care to comment. And if you haven't done it, join me on SOTA Facebook and Instagram. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot on the Air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. Don't you wish tonight's debate was about solutions? Don't you wish it was more positive? No, we don't. I got to tell you, the idea that tonight's debate might involve attacking, the candidates attacking each other, that makes it more entertaining. It makes it more compelling. I mean, can you imagine a controlled debate between Trump and Biden? That's like a controlled collegiate-style debate. I mean, that would be boring AF. Just the idea that there's going to be attacking, the idea that they're going to, you know, chip at each other, that's what makes it exciting. I hate to admit that, but it's true. And I hate to admit that it's about the entertainment value, but it is. If this were going to be a traditional collegiate-style debate, we wouldn't watch it. But the idea that Trump might do something wild, that Biden might slip and stumble for words, this is what we're watching for tonight. I'm Scoot. Let's get to a couple of calls. Let's go to Homa and Audrey. You're on WWL. Hey, Audrey.
Hi, Scoot. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
It's been a while. This is Audrey, the Cajun Tsunami. That's my political handle. This morning, Scoot, I did not know how to get in touch with President Biden's staff, so I sent MSNBC a message, and I've been gone, so I don't know whether they... But it has to do with a zinger that I came up with that I think, like Reagan did a few years ago, won the election for him. And I would like to share it with y'all now, if I could.
Okay.
Okay. Would you explain to the audience what the word zinger means and how it's used sometimes?
Well, I mean, a zinger is, kind of like catching somebody off guard. It's finding them maybe not prepared for something, and you bring them a surprise.
Okay. Well, if I'm not mistaken, tonight, which I know a lot of people will be watching, President Biden, for some reason, I believe, maybe they flipped a coin, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he allowed President Trump to have the last word, to be the last one to give the closing. Am I correct?
I don't know.
That it was
I don't know.
I heard that President Biden could have been first, and he did not. So anyway, I said, if I were...
close to President Biden, this is what I would tell him to get ex-President Trump raging mad. Are you ready?
Okay.
I would look at President Trump if I were Biden, and I would put my shoulders back, and I would say, Mr. Ex-President, or should I say the alternative, Mr. Trump, I will not refer to you as a felon, the world's biggest loser and liar. Mr. Ex-President, I will simply and sincerely tell you here and now, you're fired. And I would slam my fist on the podium, thank the individuals for hosting the debate. And thank you for listening, Scoot.
All right,
you
Audrey.
Have a fantastic All program, right. And so does Mr. Newell Norman in the morning. And you're right about what you said earlier. Y'all are a fantastic station. I haven't called in a while, but thank you for taking time and listening.
Thank you
and
for calling.
And everybody, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, please listen to the debate tonight. And all I say is, let justice be done.
Yeah. Audrey, I'm glad you called, and I'm proud to have you listening to our show. Yeah, I think that would be somewhat of a zinger. Let's go to Jonathan in Marrero. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Scoot. I was calling in regards to the law passed about the balloons.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Yeah, that was in Florida, and DeSantis passed signed a bill into law that bans the intentional release of balloons.
I guess my point was, you know, if I'm driving down the interstate and there's a state trooper behind me and all of a sudden I just start grabbing uninflated balloons and just throwing them out the window, you know, do you think he would pull me over and give me a ticket for that?
No, I don't think so. I don't know if, you know, that's going to be one of those laws that's going to be probably hard to enforce because, I mean, what are police going to do? Are they going to show up at a memorial for some child who died in a home, was killed by the parents or some tragic situation, and there's going to be a balloon release? Are they going to show up there and arrest people for releasing the balloons? I don't think that would be a good idea. But the idea of banning the balloon release is to cut down on the litter that ends up in the waterways and can affect some of the you know the wildlife that's in the waterways. And you know the balloons that are released in mass numbers, they all end up litter somewhere else, and so that can be a threat to wildlife. All right, let's go to Ian with a couple of quick texts.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, if my candidate needs Mountain Dew to keep him going, I'm good with that.
Well, okay, yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Biden seems to need a little something to get a boost, and I don't know why they don't give it to him all the time, since there are times that it seems like he doesn't have the boost.
Here's a text that says, if you're Trump, would you really want to deliver a kill shot to Biden? Do you really want Democrats to replace Biden? Do you want to aid them in that decision? If I am being strategic, I may even help Biden along,
wow.
Sort of like a cat playing with a lizard. Everyone hates uncertainty, even Trump.
You know, we talked earlier this week about some Democrats who are now saying that if Biden does poorly in the debate, it may force them to find another candidate. And Trump's best chance to win is against Biden.
Here's a text that says, do the people who plan to vote for Trump realize that as a convicted felon, he is not supposed to have a top secret clearance prohibiting him from having access to sensitive classified information? How will he be able to do the job of president unless they make an exception for him?
Well, I guess they'd have to make an exception. And, you know, the Supreme Court has yet to rule on whether or not Trump as president is immune from prosecution. So that's something that could come down anytime.
Three more quick ones. This says, I don't care if he wears diapers or mini pads. I am voting for Trump. That's from Joanne. Thank you, Joanne. Here's one that says, hey, I'm a true blue Biden supporter. As anyone who values honesty as our Constitution, but can't stand to watch the debate, maybe a drinking game will help. I'm going to be making Manhattans tonight.
Hey, listen, don't say you're going to take a drink every time January 6th comes up or any time Hunter Biden comes up, because you will be wasted by the end of the debate.
And we'll end with this one today. It's not going to be a NASCAR wreck. The wreck happened already. It's going to be them dragging two drivers out of the wreckage and seeing who's dead and who can still stand, if either.
That is horrible. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1964, Peter and Gordon's A World Without Love was the number one song in the country. Now, this sounds like a Beatles song. Well, it does, because it was written by Paul McCartney and John Lennon. And at the time, Paul McCartney was dating Peter Asher's sister, Jane. And so they gave Peter and Gordon the song, A World Without Love, number one on this day in 64. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back to wrap up the show on WWL. All right, Thursday afternoon, tomorrow's Free For All Friday. We'll talk about the carnage following the debate. Sports Talk with Bobby Abreu, Mike Dottiglie, Steve Geller coming up next. They will analyze the NBA draft that took place yesterday. Also, didn't get to your comments from the SOTA Facebook page, but they're there if you care to comment. And if you haven't done it, join me on SOTA Facebook and Instagram. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot on the Air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. All right, Thursday afternoon, tomorrow's Free For All Friday. We'll talk about the carnage following the debate. Sports Talk with Bobby Abreu, Mike Dottiglie, Steve Geller coming up next. They will analyze the NBA draft that took place yesterday. Also, didn't get to your comments from the SOTA Facebook page, but they're there if you care to comment. And if you haven't done it, join me on SOTA Facebook and Instagram. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot on the Air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.